Welcome to the first ever episode of Brief Conversations with Interesting People. I'm your host, Scott C. Jones. And what I did on today's show is I took my recording equipment, walked into a video game store, and I talked to the two guys behind the counter. I asked them if we could have a brief conversation. One guy's name was Jake. The other guy's name was Tree. They agreed to have a conversation. And I love people who work in video game stores. I love people who are game fans. And they're really some of the most interesting people I've ever met in my entire life. What you're about to hear is that conversation, and just keep in mind as you listen, this conversation took place in a little window of time between the release of Uncharted 4
and Doom 4, so just remember that. Anyway, enjoy.
Now, Uncharted is the game that's selling the most right now, I would guess, right?
Yes.
Okay. But you're wearing a Final Fantasy t-shirt.
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, I'm super excited for Final Fantasy. It's been 10 years that I've been waiting for this one, so I'm really looking forward to playing it. I use any opportunity to kind of talk to people about it.
Okay. This looks like, well, I guess it's not that old. 15. Is that the last one?
15 is the one that comes out in September that they've been working on since, I believe, 2006 or 2007.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's not out yet.
No, it's not out yet, but it'll be out someday.
I'm not the most up-to-date on Final Fantasy.
That's okay. You could be 10 years behind and know about this one.
I tried to play 12 once because a friend of mine who is very dear to me, he made me promise him when we were in Tokyo. He's like, you have to play Final Fantasy 12. And I said, yes, because I love you, I will. And I swear I put in like 140 hours into it and I wasn't done. And then I had to shut it down because I review games and started playing something new and I just never went back to it. Did I miss out on something?
12 is a weird one to jump into.
You don't like 12?
No, I love 12. It's just, it's kind of the black sheep. It's you know, it doesn't play the same way a lot of them. It was one of the first ones that went, I believe, action RPG instead of your standard turn-based. And then when it comes to Final Fantasy, everybody's kind of got their favorite.
Mm-hmm. You're a 7
like
guy. 7.
I don't like 7.
Oh, really? Me? I never like 7 either.
Not, it's good. Like, you know, I have nothing bad to say about it, but I tend to prefer the higher fantasy style of the Final Fantasy series. Yeah. So, like, I really enjoyed 9 because it's got the airships and it's based off, you know, that high fantasy and castles and all that sort of stuff.
What's your favorite kind of customer here? Who do you like to see walk through those doors? Who do you like who do you like to satisfy the most?
Honestly, we get a lot of regulars who come in and they just like to chat, and that's always fun. Yeah. But I definitely, you know, it's always great to have somebody who comes in who is interested in the same style of games as myself. Mm-hmm. I find that they tend to be the easiest to help because I can recommend them things that they may not have played that, you know, me being here, I have the luxury of knowing all these things and getting a lot of feedback. But I definitely would say the people who like the same kind of games as me.
Now, you've been working here for about 14 years now? 17 years?
Not quite that long, no.
40 years?
Like 8 years.
Why do you stay here for so long? Why? Like, I see a lot of times I see people who work in retail at video game stores, and they usually have high turnover. But every time I come here, Jake is always here. Why is Jake always here?
Well, I manage this place, first and foremost.
Okay.
But I like talking about video games with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I considered going down the design side of things, and that didn't really appeal to me because I find, for myself personally, when I kind of get into the behind the scenes and the back end and, you know, the code and all the tedious side of things, it kind of makes me lose my passion.
Takes the magic out of it.
It takes it away. Yeah. And
it's hard work to make games, man. Like,
totally.
Those guys, their lives are shorter. You know, they're full of stress. It's hard work. Like, they work really long hours.
Yes.
I worry about them.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, you know, I always hear about the crunch season where it's, you know, mm-hmm. 12 to 18 hour days for weeks to kind of hit that deadline, and that really doesn't appeal to me. Mm-hmm. I want to have time to play video games, and that definitely is a big part of why I work here.
What about doing what I used to do, which is professional reviewer? What about that? That would, I would think, appeal to you.
It definitely does.
And you've got a great voice. You got
I've
a great
thought
look.
About it.
Yeah.
I almost feel as though I've missed that boat.
Why?
I feel like with, you know, things like YouTube, and the fact that the two new consoles and every game software has an automatic streaming system, like,
yeah,
it's a very, very saturated market.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's finding that niche, and then I guess, you know, 99% of that's luck, and doing the right things and, you know, being able to find your point of view and your market and that sort of thing. And I guess I just haven't wanted to take that chance.
I guess there are lots of stops on the hierarchy of video game employment, and you're one of the stops that I don't think a lot of people give enough credit to, really.
I would probably agree with that.
You're one of the guys, like, people turn to you and they rely on you, maybe more so than professional reviewers.
I would say so, and, you know, not to say anything negative about any sort of professional reviews, and I read lots of reviews all the time, but
they're always wrong.
No, never wrong. It's always somebody's opinion, and that's kind of how you have to take it. And I tend to get most of my reviews and my best recommendations have been from here and from, you know, the people I see a couple of times a month. And just, you know, your average gamer, like, I'm actually behind, and I'm playing Dark Souls 2 Scholar of the First Sin right now.
Yeah, me too. I gotta get caught up.
I didn't get 3.
I love Bloodborne, though.
Yeah, and I'm juggling between the two of them, and it's a very unique experience, but I'm enjoying it. I was actually going to just pass over Dark Souls 2 and go straight to 3, and I had a couple of customers and close friends just tell me, no, go to, play it, and then if you want to, play 3, like, it's there.
I'm very torn today because I kind of want Uncharted, but I am not working right now and I'm not as rich as I used to be. What should I do? I liked the second one okay. The first one was kind of mediocre, and the third one I thought was kind of a step in the wrong direction. And now 4, I don't know. Everybody is excited, but I don't know if it would do it for me. What do you think?
I picked up 4, so okay. I do have 4.
You must get a discount.
You don't have to tell me what to do, but it probably doesn't offset the amount of games I've bought in addition.
You're still spending too much money.
I spend way more here.
Yeah, okay.
I picked it up, and I hate to say it, but I'll probably do the same thing that I've done. I'll play the first hour or so, and then I'll put it on the shelf, and then a year later I'll pick it up and finish it.
Yeah.
I've done that with every single Uncharted game, and it's not because they're bad. Or, you know, it's just not what I'm looking for.
And some of them are bad.
Yeah. See, I didn't like 2 so much. 1, I really enjoyed.
Oh, really? Okay.
3, I felt was okay. And then, like, I felt like it just ended super quick. Like, it was just over. And I was like, oh, that was, felt like that just was midpoint.
Right.
I like them. And I look forward to seeing how the story ends, I guess.
Yeah.
Because as far as I can tell, this seems like it's the end. I'm very heavy to avoid spoilers, so I don't like to look for things. But I'm excited to play it. It's like Indiana Jones. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Grab some popcorn.
I gotta tell you, judge me if you have to, but I kind of want to pick up a copy of Crackdown today. Am I crazy?
Why is that a bad thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
I love
feel
the
about Crackdown.
And then I played Crackdown 2 with 3 friends, and it was phenomenal.
Oh, you liked it.
As far as I'm concerned, any game can be a good game if you're playing with the right people. And that was my experience with Crackdown 2. I used to have like a 4-player night with a group of friends before I moved to Vancouver, and we did it consistently every single week. And we started running out of games, so we went to Crackdown 2. And we played 4-player Crackdown 2, and it was great.
Now listen, without naming names, what's the craziest thing somebody ever asked you for? I came in today, you were picking something off the shelf, trying to get it down for somebody. I mean, can you think of something off the top of your head that was just like, oh man, I don't think we've ever had that. Is there anything that comes to mind for you? Has anybody asked for anything that's not a game? That's just absurd.
We definitely get people who mix the strangest of genres.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get people, I'll be like, hey, you know, what are you looking for? And they're like, well, I really like sports games, but I'm a big fan of, like, real-time strategy. And then I'm just like, well, I don't have anything for you.
Yeah. You're SOL.
But then, at the same time, you know, you get a lot of, you know, I guess the unfortunate side of the consoles is you'll get people who come in and they have an Xbox and they want Mario or they want Mario Kart.
Oh, and they don't know.
There isn't anything. Like, there are a few kart racers here and there, but it's not what you're looking for. So I'd say it's probably less in terms of, like, ridiculous requests and more wrong console for what they're looking for.
It's a big day on Friday.
Yes, Doom.
Are you excited? Are you a Doom fan?
I have never really been a Doom fan. I'm not opposed to Doom. I played more Duke Nukem and Wolfenstein when I was younger. People are excited for it.
Yeah.
I've heard mixed things about the multiplayer, but Doom is Doom. If you can wield big guns and destroy things, then I think it'll do okay.
It's kind of a funny time where somehow your store seems more full of stuff than ever, but it seems like fewer games come out. It seems like a couple years ago we'd have at least one or two pretty big titles every week, and now it's one or two a month. Do you need to grab that?
I don't know where it is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
I would agree, and I think the diversity of games is, that's something that I've been talking with a lot of customers and my friends about lately, is, you know, I've always been an RPG guy, and realistically, every single game that I would want to play, whether it's RPG or not, is going to have some sort of progression, some sort of skill tree, or upgrades, or something, so it's almost as though everything's almost got some sort of relatability to something else. Like Call of Duty, in a way, is similar to Dragon Age, because you've got your unlocks and your loadouts and different things like this.
Right.
And I think that's making everything feel a little bit more familiar. Like, everything that comes out does feel familiar. Nothing feels quite familiar.
And do you think it's just everybody needs to make money? The industry's a little more
conservative. It was lunchtime when Jake and I had this conversation. I love game stores at lunchtime. It's kind of the magic hour when you see people who are taking a little break from their day jobs, coming in with a hopeful look in their eyes, picking up game boxes, reading the backs of the game boxes,
so much of that.
Putting them back down.
I think one of the big things about game development that's unique in the entertainment field is how long it takes to produce something. So a game that gets started 3 or 4 years ago, you know, was based on what consumers wanted and what they were hearing about 3 or 4 years ago. And then that's why you get things, you know, well, all of a sudden we've got 12 different MOBAs coming out all in the same month, and nobody's quite sure which one's going to be hit again. And I've noticed that happening a lot more. And I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's something that we need to adapt to.
Do you have anything else you want to talk to that other guy, that guy there?
Yeah, you can.
I really like you. I don't know if I'll like him, though.
He's a pretty fantastic guy.
Okay. He's your protege?
Sure. We can call him that.
The way, who's the woman in Star Wars? Not Kylo Ren.
Rey?
Rey, yeah. She's Luke Skywalker's protege, maybe?
Yes.
You think
possibly,
so?
Hopefully.
Possibly, yeah.
I think she will. I definitely think
so. Do you like the movies?
I do. I'm the new one. I did. I liked it. Yeah. I think it was a nice apology for the
prequels. Yeah. George.
Yeah. I think him not really being involved is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, he created something wonderful, but, you know, I know a few artists, and artists like to tinker.
Oh,
and
that's
not
George.
Not what it started with. And that's totally him.
Yeah. He dilutes something that was so potent.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know. I felt like this was too much of like an echo in the universe.
And I think that was intentional.
Yeah, like, good for them. But I felt like it wasn't anything new for me that I needed to know. And I felt like it's as much a kid's movie as George wanted his prequels to be kids' movies. You know.
Yeah, I would say that's probably right.
Maybe I'm a dick, though.
I think truly we'll see how it goes when the full trilogy's out.
Yeah.
Once we get all three, then we can see kind of how the whole arc is. But I do agree. It was very much lots of throwbacks to old movies.
Yeah, they blew up the Death Star again.
Woohoo!
Yeah, good for me. I'm glad I sat in this theater for $12.50 so I could wear 3D goggles. Excuse me, sir?
Yeah.
This gentleman said it would be okay if we chatted.
Sure thing, Mr. Jones.
I don't know if you want to talk. How do you know my name? That makes me suspicious.
I've seen you around as a kid, on the show.
What's your name?
Tree.
Tree?
Yep, T-R-I.
Really? That's a really nice name. When you applied for this job, give me an example of the kinds of things you had to put on the application to prove that you're a passionate gamer.
Oh, that's a tough one. My hobbies, I said I liked music, and I didn't exactly say that I like game music. I didn't really quite mention that I like video games, because I tried to keep it professional, kind of an all-around resume. So I just really impressed them with the whole interview and all the questions and the answers they gave me. That's how I got hired.
You were really proud of your performance, and they realized that you were the best, and now you're here.
Well, to say that, that's pretty generous.
How's it been so far? How's it working for Jake?
It has been great, actually. Yeah. Like, working under him, I've learned a lot of stuff about games, about how to work in retail.
Yeah.
I've worked at McDonald's before, but retail, I guess it would be my first time working in it. So I learned a lot of information dealing with customers and how to, you know, keep them coming back.
Yeah. Do you hope that there's a future here for you in the store? Or in the video game industry? Do you
maybe
have a
in the
dream
game
job?
If I could continue, or if I could get into music and make music, or at least be involved in the symphony or helping the composer, that would be great.
What about the culture between new games? Are these all used here?
Anything with a green sticker.
Okay, so these are used games. What about the culture, the balance between the new stuff and the used stuff?
I noticed that a lot more people, kids, are going towards the PS4 or Xbox One, you know, that Microsoft or Sony. They're forgetting about Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just don't know much about Mario or Zelda. Like, the first thing a kid asks is, do you have the new Call of Duty?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
yeah, they're nuts for the Call of Duty. Yeah. They love the Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Yeah. Even though there's lots of other stuff that is more interesting to play, I think. Why do you think they gravitate to the Call of Duty so much?
It's popular.
Yeah.
People say, oh, this is a great game. Oh, I want to play that too. They want to play with friends. They want to play with people they know.
Mm-hmm.
And the multiplayer is just really quick. Nothing too difficult about it. It's just easy to get into. And it's got guns. Kids love guns.
Kids do like guns. Even Canadian kids, I think, like guns. So, are you making... And you just make the sign so Jake doesn't hear you. Are you making more than $18 an hour or less? And if you're making more, just go like this with your thumb, or less, go like this.
How much was it at the end?
$18.
Can't really say.
Jake, you wouldn't tell me.
That's okay.
So, how long have you been here for?
Since October. No, November.
Okay. What's the most interesting thing that's ever happened in this location?
I was mainly on the floor. I wasn't behind the register until after the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So I was helping people pick out games, what to get for their, what to get for themselves as for gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to sell Portal 2 for the Xbox 360.
Portal 2 for the Xbox 360? Mm-hmm. What was it? It's like 14 years old? That's amazing. That's an amazing game. Like, I love Portal 2. What are you laughing at, Jake?
That's a great game.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's really one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So you sold that, and you're very proud of the fact that you sold it.
Oh, yeah. They want something that was cooperative, and he said it was for someone who liked puzzle games. I'm like, well, this game will definitely turn the thinking around.
Yeah. How many times have you finished Portal?
Oh, I think 3 times. I wasn't able to get the highest medals in the trials.
Mm-hmm.
And then Portal 2, I finished the co-op with someone. I just actually, the first time I played co-op, I jumped into the last level with someone, and like, well, I guess that's the game.
You keep saying someone, like, it could be a romantic partner, it could be a significant other.
Just a random person,
just
like
random,
in all gaming.
Oh, so just like online, you don't even know what this person looks like.
I don't know
like.
What this person looks
okay,
like, yeah.
Okay. I feel like I get a little too shy to try to do multiplayer gaming with other people. What recommendation would you have for me?
Really? Just don't care. Just enjoy the game, and if they start making a fuss or something about, just like brush it off, or just tell them, play the game.
Okay. Are you good? If I see you online, are you just destroying it?
No. I've been playing Dota.
I feel like you're good.
I used to be good. I don't play much online competitive games now, and I play more casually.
Yeah.
Like in Dota, I'm not as good as I used to be, and not that I was that great.
You lose things when you get older. Your skills get diminished.
But I played more games than most of my friends, whereas they play the main multiplayer game over and over.
Yeah.
So I got that going for me. I know more about what's new-ish.
So for the rest of the year, what's the title you're looking forward to the most?
For the rest of the year?
Just one title, just one. That's it. Mirror's Edge?
This is a tough one, actually. I would have to say Final Fantasy 15.
Oh.
I never got to play 13. I saw my brother play, but from what I've seen, the gameplay's changed a lot. But I'm excited to see how it turns out. I would have said Dark Souls 3, but that already came out.
Already
I bought PS4 just for that.
So those are the two titles from 2016 that you're most excited about.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
I don't know. That's all you can think of.
That's all you can think. Well, if they release Legend of Zelda this year, maybe.
They won't. I don't think it's until...
Who knows?
Someday. No, for sure. Not until the new system comes out, right? Yeah. What about E3? Do you guys get excited for E3? What happens in here? Does it change the store at all?
Oh, definitely. We find a way to stream it.
With all the press conferences?
Oh, yeah. I watched. It's like the one time I can guarantee wake up early is to watch press conferences.
Which one? Which press conference are you most looking forward to?
Not anyone in particular. Bethesda. It would be Bethesda this time.
Why?
Now that I just... in terms of a company, they have the most releases that I enjoy. And I'm always waiting for an Elder Scrolls announcement.
There's got to be an Elder Scrolls this year, right?
I don't think it'll be this year, no.
You don't think so?
No, generally speaking, by their timeline, they've usually got about 4 years between each title. So it'll be a while. But I just want to hear a whisper. Just a whisper.
You know, I saw Todd Howard naked once.
Did you?
No, I never did. I wish I did.
I was going to say, you should use that against him to get him to tell you about a new Elder Scrolls game.
He's such an amazing... They're an amazing company.
They really are. Yeah, they care a lot about what they're putting out, which I think is what makes it different.
And that's it for the very first episode of Brief Conversations with Interesting People. I hope you enjoyed it, and stay tuned to the website because I'm going to be posting more of these conversations in the very near future. Special thanks today to Jake and Tree. Get out there, buy some games, talk to the cashiers. They're the most interesting people I know. Until next time, I'm Scott Jones. See you then.